In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the third chapter of the book of Genesis, the sacred author gives the account of our fall from grace, resulting from the rebellion of our first parents against God. After the temptation of the serpent, Scripture tells us what happened. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Their eyes were opened. It would seem from this account that the fall of Adam and Eve was indeed no fall at all. Rather, it seems like it brought about something very good, the gift of sight. So, were they blind before they sinned? Well, if we look back at the last verse of chapter 2 of Genesis, we read the following: "The man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Why were they not ashamed? They were not ashamed, not because they were blind to each other, but because their eyes were not fixed on each other. Rather, their eyes were fixed on the one who made them, the only one who could bring them perfect happiness. Their disobedience opened their eyes, yes, but so that they could see only themselves. God was no longer in view. Because of this rebellion, their eyes were no longer eyes of faith and love, but rather eyes of selfishness and shame. Our first parents did not receive sight by the fall, but blindness, and they've passed this blindness on to their descendants, even to this day. With this in mind, we turn to our gospel for today, St. Mark's account of the healing of Bartimaeus. The scriptures give no background about this man, except that he is blind. But the most important fact about Bartimaeus is not that he is blind, but that he knows he is blind and recognizes our Lord as his only hope for sight. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." The title Son of David is a title reserved for the one the Jews were waiting for, the Messiah, who would sit on the throne of David and reign forever. So many during the public ministry of our Lord did not recognize him, but this blind man does. How does he do that? Because he knows that he is blind. He knows, as only a blind man can, his own weakness, his own helplessness, his total dependence on God to heal him. And so, having nothing to lose, he cries out, "Son of David, have pity on me." The gospel tells us that many around Bartimaeus rebuked him, telling him to be silent. Now, whether these people simply did not believe in Jesus or didn't want to start a commotion, we don't know, probably both. But Bartimaeus is insistent. He sees what they cannot, that this Jesus is the light of the world who has come to restore sight for all of us. Jesus recognizes the faith of this man and calls him to himself. Bartimaeus, we hear, threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. No matter how much of the world we can see around us, we are all, to some extent or other, blind. Our eyes are stuck on this world, stuck on ourselves. Indeed, our country was built on this idea of self-sufficiency, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. The Bible tells us that we can do all things, but of course only through Christ who strengthens us. Of ourselves, we are just as helpless as any blind man. And all we can do is cry out with Bartimaeus, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." Our lives have been disordered by sin. The order of creation that God intended from the beginning has been turned on its head. Our sight has been so warped that which is evil is called good, and that which is good is called evil. We become convinced that our blindness, whatever form of sinful behavior or tendency that takes, that is now normal. The longer we persist in our blindness, denying our need for healing, we begin to construct an alternate reality for ourselves so that no amount of truth or love can penetrate it. The voices in our culture that are constantly on the offensive, attempting to alter our understandings of the church, to alter our understanding of basic truths of human nature, these are the same voices that tried to prevent Bartimaeus from coming to the Lord Jesus. These voices want us to keep silent, to be content in our darkness so as not to cause a stir. Our culture wants us to be blind, and if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we ourselves want to remain blind so that we don't have to face life on God's terms. But as with Bartimaeus, the voice of Christ is stronger than the voice of the crowds, and he says to each of us, "What do you want me to do for you?" He gives us all the grace we need and waits for us to tell him, "Master, I want to see." Several years ago, Pope Benedict XVI canonized a young Native American woman named Kateri Tekakwitha. Though Kateri was the daughter of a Christian mother and a pagan father, she was orphaned very young and was raised by an uncle, also not a Christian. At the age of 4, Kateri was afflicted with a severe case of smallpox, which left her face disfigured and her sight greatly impaired for the rest of her life. Her bad vision led her to stumble when she walked, and thus her fellow villagers gave her the name Tekakwitha, which means she who bumps into things. Jesuit priests from France had been missionaries in the area of what is now northern New York and southern Canada for some time, and Kateri always had a great love for our Lord, even though she was not yet even baptized. At 13, she was able to begin catechism classes with one of the priests and was soon baptized. Her uncle tried repeatedly to arrange marriage for Kateri, but she insisted on remaining a virgin for Christ. Upon her conversion, the villagers began to accuse her of sexual promiscuity and grew more and more hostile to the priests and her fellow converts. But despite her poor vision, she was able to see what her kinsmen could not, that her only true happiness was to be found not in this world, but in the next. And Kateri spent the rest of her short life in prayer and penance and works of charity for the conversion of her people. When she died at the age of 24, all of the scars of the smallpox were gone, and her face was like that of a bride. Although we will probably not be canonized, although that should remain a goal for us, each of us is called to be a saint. Everyone is called by our baptism to holiness of life, but in order to see where we have to go, we must ask our divine physician to give us a new pair of eyes. We need eyes of faith, eyes that can see beyond ourselves, eyes that can pierce beyond the darkness that surrounds us. We need eyes by which we can see everything and everyone in their true light, the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asks. "Master, I want to see." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.